Good morning, everybody. It's good to come and worship on the first day of March. Spring is on its way. Yeah, you can come out of your wintering now. Nearly. But as we come this morning to worship, and as we have been sharing together over these last weeks at Bible study, studying Jesus' farewell discourse, John chapter 13 to 17, or anything in between, and thinking about Jesus' words. If you remember, throughout his ministry, he was saying to his disciples and those he met, "My time has not yet come." But as we get to John 17, he says, "My time has come." And so as we go through these 40 days of Lent, as we remember, as we reflect, and as we repent, we remember how Jesus prepared his disciples and therefore prepared us. And on Friday, I gave them another acronym for Lent. Anybody from Friday remember what I told you? Love every neighbor truly. Okay. I said by the time we get to the end of this, we'll have another six to go. But I think this morning, and often we don't talk about the Holy Spirit until we get to the season of Pentecost. And actually, it's good that Jesus talked to his disciples about the Holy Spirit before he descended to heaven. And so we need to get to grips as believers that we are indwelt by God's Holy Spirit, and what difference that can make to our lives and how it should affect our thoughts and our words and our actions and anything else. But as the disciples said, that they too want to be with him, and so should we. And so as we think about the word of God and preparing, we just go back to the Old Testament and we just have these famous words from Psalm 121. "I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore." And as we think about the helper in the Old Testament, later we'll be thinking about the helper in the New Testament. And so let's sing together number 237, "Holy, Holy, Holy."
Holy, 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 Lord God.
you weren't awake before, you are now. Let's come to our Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come together and to worship your holy name. We thank you for the way that you have revealed yourself to us through your creation, through your Son, Jesus Christ, and that you continue to reveal yourself in your Holy Spirit. We thank you as we sing those beautiful hymns that explain things to us, Lord, that we wouldn't just see them as words and music, but that we would sing them as an act of praise and worship to you. We thank you that we can come into the peace of your house, that we worship together as your family. We thank you that you care for each one of us individually. You know us inside and out. Lord, I pray that praise would be on our lips at all times. And that, Lord, sometimes when we don't feel that we have really come into the day properly, Lord, that we would find one reason to give you thanks and praise, and that one reason then, Lord, would expand to many more. Lord, we have so much to praise and thank you for. As we come into this season of Lent, Lord, we thank you for that opportunity to just pause, be still, and to reflect on all that you have done for each one of us, that you love each one of us, you care deeply for each one of us, and that we would be so thankful, so grateful for that, Lord, that we want to share your message around our neighborhoods. Lord, we are sorry for the times that we forget that you are with us, for the times when we want to go our own way, for the times when perhaps our words and actions are not worthy of you. Lord, we thank you that we can come to you and say that we're sorry, and you welcome us back with open arms, because that's what Jesus did for each one of us on the cross, with his arms wide open. Lord, as we read your words to us this morning, as we think of your peace that passes all understanding, we do pray, Lord, for peace in our world. Lord, as we learn of all that is unfolding in the Middle East, Lord, our hearts weep. And so, Lord, if we're distressed, how on earth must you be feeling? Lord, I pray that you would make a difference in that community. That, Lord, that for the people that are placed in places of power, Lord, they would seek peace and not destruction. We give you thanks and praise, Lord, for those that do seek peace, for the peacemakers, for the aid workers. We pray for anyone, Lord, whose family is caught up in that destruction, the fear even, Lord, of what might be. Lord, we thank you that we can bring all our fears to you in prayer, and that you will fill us with your Spirit of peace. Lord, for all that each of us has coming up this week, be with us. Draw close to us, Lord. May we know your presence. And Lord, in the times when perhaps we don't, may we seek you even more earnestly. Lord, thank you that we can call to you, that you are our help, and that those who believe in you have the helper, the Holy Spirit, dwelling inside us and journeying with us. So, Lord, we continue in worship, bringing you our praise and our thanks. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we'll pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We often say when we come to read our Bibles that we can read through the entire New Testament with the benefit of more than 2,000 years of scholarship. We know that it all turns out all right in the end. And so as we think about the disciples gathered in the upper room with Jesus, we might think it's easy that we can laugh at, without putting it too politely, how thick are they that they don't understand what Jesus is telling them? But I think if we were with Jesus at that time, seeing Jesus in action through those 3 years of ministry, and Jesus is telling them that he's going to leave, I don't think we would understand either. I think we would want more of what Jesus has been doing. And so it's crucial to remember that those ordinary men would have found it really difficult to grasp everything that Jesus was teaching until the things that he's starting to share with them have been accomplished. Because we know, don't we? We open up our New Testament and we see Jesus' ministry and we see his crucifixion and his resurrection, his ascension, the coming of the Holy Spirit. But those disciples, they didn't have the New Testament. They didn't know how it was all going to pan out. They didn't know what their part would be in everything that Jesus was telling them. Their experiences with Jesus were crucial because that's what they'd go on to tell people, and that's why we read what we read. But they also needed the teaching and the influence of the Holy Spirit. And we think how the Holy Spirit came down on those early believers and how he helped them to remember all that Jesus had done. And, you know, sometimes it's hard for us to think, isn't it? How can Jesus dwell? How can God dwell in us through the power of his Holy Spirit? And so Jesus explains, and this is the first explicit explanation we get of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And so I'll ask Tony if he'll come and give us our reading.
The reading is John 14, verses 15 to 21, and then 25 to 27. And it's found on page 1082 in the Church Bibles. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore. But you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and show them myself to them. And then 25 to 27. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Thanks be to God for his word.
As we were thinking about that passage on Friday, we realised that a person's love for Christ, their obedience to his teachings, and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit are all intertwined. And as in prior statements, Jesus is focused on comfort and encouragement. He will continue to highlight the need to maintain faith based on what he has said and done so far. And so we see the ministry of the Holy Spirit as an instructor, a helper, who reminded and will enable the apostles to write the scripture and to have the necessary information to establish the church. That's why we're here today worshipping. Have you thought about that? If the disciples had done a runner, we wouldn't be here this morning. We'd be at the temple of Tesco's. Jesus. We're along with the rest of the country. Jesus dwelling inside his followers means his love never leaves those who welcome him into their lives. So let's sing number 118H3. Holy Spirit, living breath of God. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for blessing us with your Holy Spirit. I pray that as we ponder on your word, that we will hear your voice and understand your will. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would open our hearts and minds and that you would work on our hearts so that we would understand and obey the truths that the Father has shared through Scripture, through Jesus, and the inspiration of his Holy Spirit. Amen. It's always hard to say goodbye to those that we love. And as we read Jesus' farewell discourses, we get a glimpse of the disciples' pain and uncertainty. Yet, as we've been learning over these last weeks, he tells them that it's good for them that he's going away. Because God is sending someone else, and the relationship will be even more intimate. I don't know about you, but those words make me stop and consider how, when I asked Jesus to be my Saviour and Lord, he came and made his home within me. Jesus has just told his disciples that he's about to leave them, and he says these words to reassure them: do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. They're clearly meant as words of comfort. They will be worried about what's going to happen in the next few months when Jesus isn't there to teach them and to guide them. If you think about it, up until now, they've hardly done a thing without Jesus being there to direct them or even to correct them. And now he's telling them that they're going to be on their own. Don't know, I was thinking it's like the first time that you're allowed to take your car out for a drive without the driving instructor being there anymore. For the drivers amongst us, do you remember that? Yeah, I scraped the side of mine on my dad's garage. It was his car, so I wasn't so worried. But, but when you get the controls of that vehicle, suddenly everything depends on you. And now Jesus is saying, I'm going. Get on with it. But he doesn't, does he? Because he gives them more words of reassurance. If you love me, that first bit of reassurance he gives them comes in the form of the statement, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. It's not a conditional statement as much as a statement of where they already are with him. He knows that they love him, that they do love him with all their hearts. It's not in question. When we move into chapter 15, he will point out that he considers them his friends. It's because they love him that he's confident that they will keep his commandments. If you think about it, that's how loving relationships work, isn't it? When we love someone, we're glad to do what pleases them. And if they don't, we tell them how to. So that's the first bit of reassurance that Jesus gives. They don't need Jesus with them physically in order to do what's right. They'll do it anyway because they love him. But then he promises them someone will continue the relationship that they have with him. He says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate. In some versions it says counselor, in others helper, to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides in you. And he will be in you. Their hearts don't need to be troubled at the thought that Jesus is about to leave them because his presence will be with them. It will be replaced by something far greater, the coming of the Holy Spirit will empower them in a way that Jesus' physical presence would never, ever able to. Jesus says another, Jesus' replacement. So close is the identification of this new advocate that Jesus says, you know him because he abides in you. When we read about the, as it says in Greek, the Parakletos, it's the one that is called near to give help, an intercessor, a comforter. As we ponder the words to describe the one who will be sent, all of them describe the role of the Holy Spirit in a believer. But for the disciples to whom Jesus is talking, the key word in what he has for them is not about the qualities of the one that the Father would send, but in the nature of the one that he would send. The word another, in Greek there are two words that are translated another. It's lovely when we get into the Greek, isn't it? Seven words for love, two for another. One means another, meaning something totally different. But the word here means one in nature, exactly the same. While Jesus walked with the disciples, he was their comforter, their guide, their teacher. Now he's going to send them one just like him. As long as Jesus was with them, they were going to rely on somebody else to do the miraculous, to preach the good news, to cast out demons. They were okay being Jesus' helpers. But now Jesus says there's a new dynamic about to unfold. You're going to do the work, and the Holy Spirit will be the helper. He's the same as I am, but the roles have now been reversed. Coming of the Spirit will mean for the disciples that he will be in us. Not just them, but in each one of us too. If we think about it, the Spirit's presence is different from Jesus' presence. He dwells with us forever. And that means that we'll know him in a really intimate way. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead also means that he will live in each one of us because Jesus lives. The coming of the Spirit to dwell within us imparts to us in a spiritual sense the risen life of Christ. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die, Jesus says in chapter 12. How amazing is it that the Spirit's presence within us is actually the presence of God and Jesus within us. And that presence brings us into relationship with the circle of the Trinity. If you were thinking as you were singing the opening hymn, as we sing about the Blessed Trinity, it's one of those awesome descriptions that John loves and that he writes about. Jesus is in the Father is in Jesus, we're in Jesus, Jesus is in us. Yeah, John had a while to think that one through. Jesus is in the Father is in Jesus, we're in Jesus, Jesus is in us. That's a complex interweaving of relationships within the Godhead that we too are then drawn into. The ancient church fathers described it as the dancing around of the Trinity. Three persons turning around with such harmony that though you can still see their three, they appear as a single unit. I remember when I was at college training to be a minister that one of my tutors used to say, we find that we're drawn into that cosmic dance. It's a lovely way to describe a relationship, isn't it? So tight. You know, you think about it and you see the murmuration of birds, don't you? They just swoop and they're all together as one. I get that picture of Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit, and us. Why is it that Jesus says he will reveal himself to the disciples in this way? And we read it's because they love him. And the result of them loving him is that they will listen to him. They will keep his word. So what about us? One of the challenging questions, I think, from Friday for most of us was, do we love God? Brought us a little bit up, you know. Do we love God? Do we really? We think about what it means for us that the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us. The Spirit imparts power for God's service. Jesus says, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works, because I am going to the Father. So what did Jesus do? And I told you a few weeks ago in Matthew, so you have no excuses not to know. We read in Matthew that he healed people, he taught people, and he proclaimed the gospel of God's kingdom. So we can then assume with confidence that God's Spirit will empower us to do those things. The Spirit will empower us for the work to which Jesus has called each one of us. When we share the gospel with our friends, it's the Holy Spirit who will work in their hearts to convince them of the truth of what we are telling them. And for those of you who are a little bit terrified by the thought of using words, as I said on Friday, those people outside who know that we come to church, who know that we believe in Christ, they'll be watching how you behave, what you say, what you do. Is that God-like? And then when it is, they'll want to have a bit of it. And then you can share your story. The Holy Spirit also reminds us of what Jesus has taught us and so enables us to obey. The Holy Spirit speaks to us when we need to know what to do and reminds us of God's work in us. This is the result of that new relationship that we can see here, a whole new way of relating to God. If you think about it, in the Old Testament, God had to use angels and mediators, prophets and priests to warn the people, to instruct them how to live. But now all that's about to change with the coming of the Holy Spirit. If we remember the words in Jeremiah 31, the days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. I will put my law within them and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God and they shall be my people. That prophecy is fulfilled by Jesus asking the Father to send the Holy Spirit to dwell in each of our hearts when we come to him and when we love him, to remind us what Jesus has taught, to bring God's words back to our minds. Now God speaks to us directly through the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, telling us what he wants us to do. And as we get to the end of that lovely passage, we think about God's peace. The coming of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of peace, will bring us peace. Not the sort of peace that the world gives. And as we look out on the world, as I prayed earlier, oh, praise God. Not a peace that is fleeting or held in place by fear, but a deep inner peace, an inner tranquility of spirit, not removed from the responsibilities and relationships of the world, but built up and experienced in the midst of it. That's the sort of peace that Jesus promises us here, that we can claim in faith. It's a peace born out of a loving personal relationship with Jesus himself, deepened through a growing surrender of our lives to the instruction of his Holy Spirit dwelling within. The Holy Spirit is given to all who love Jesus Christ to empower us for his work, to teach us all things, and to give us a real and lasting peace in the knowledge that Jesus has overcome the world. How do we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit? By being one who loves Jesus and surrendering our lives to him completely, which is shown by our desire to obey his commands. How does Jesus dwelling inside us give us comfort? How can we grow closer to God, knowing that his power gives us strength? So God, we thank you that you are not a distant God, but you are close to us. So may we delight in your love and good news and have that desire to share it with others. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we continue through this time of reflection, quieten our hearts and still our thoughts, that we would recognize the gentle whisper of your Holy Spirit. Whatever this week holds for us, remove the noise of fear, of doubt and distraction, and open our ears to the truth that only you speak. May your presence guide our steps, your wisdom shape our choices, and your love anchor our souls. Teach us to trust the promptings you place within us and to walk in obedience with peace and courage. May our lives reflect the voice that we follow, the voice of our Good Shepherd, faithful and true. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we prepare ourselves to gather around our Lord's table at his invitation, let's sing number 142, Father, We Love You. As we've just been pondering, God's presence is with those who love him and come to worship in God's name. many descriptions of the Holy Spirit. Spirit refreshes us like a breeze on a summer day. Think about that. The Spirit empowers us like the wind at our back. The Spirit lifts us up like we are floating on water. The Spirit holds us tenderly, like a parent who holds their child after they are disciplined, reassuring them that they are still loved. Whether we have a howling wind or tongues of fire, the Spirit of Jesus' promise is here with us. It brings us together to his table, not separated by distance, but joined by his Spirit. And so as we gather, before we take the next step, we admit that we've not always been faithful to our God. How, as the Bible says, we grieve his Spirit going our way, not his. And so as we come and prepare our hearts, let's pray. Almighty God, who led Israel with a pillar of cloud by day and a fire by night, you lead us in ways of righteousness. You have taught us that wandering does not mean that we are lost. You have taught us that the journey is just as important as the destination. We give thanks that you call us your people. Jesus, giver of the peace that surpasses all understanding, your peace has settled on us today. We have come because you first came to us. We gathered to hear your word just as the disciples gathered in Jerusalem. We have heard both your word of eternal life and your word that sends us out. We give thanks that you trust us with your name. Holy Spirit, who prays on our behalf when we have no words, you are both our counsel and might. You convict us with truth when we forget your word. You lead us with wisdom when we don't know where to go. You comfort us when we feel that we are without hope. We give thanks that you are in us and around us, and ever present with us. Now, as people gathered in your name, we pray that you would make your presence known to us. Holy Spirit, as you have done before, breathe your breath of life over us, making our gifts of bread and cup communion with you. May God, Jesus, and Holy Spirit abide with us as we share together. May this bind us to you and to one another. Renew us again. Nourish our souls by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. And so we read those familiar words from Paul to the church at Corinth. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread, and when he had given thanks to God for it, he broke it in pieces and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed by my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. for every time you eat the bread and drink the cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. So anyone who eats or drinks this of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourself with the help of the Holy Spirit before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honouring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking of God's judgment upon yourself. And so we pray. The thing about wind is that when it's before us, we feel like we are pushing against it. And when the wind is behind us, we feel as though everything is possible. Both are true. The Holy Spirit both pushes and pulls us in ways to live faithfully in the world. And in some ways, this meal is the same. It is a reminder of the death of Jesus, the breaking of his body in the bread and the shedding of his blood in the cup. But it is also a promise of the great feast yet to come. And so we come to the table, both remembering and looking forward with hope, being challenged by and accepting of God's grace. Amen. As you receive the bread, please take and eat as a sign of your individual response to God. The bread we break is the bread of life, and that life is the hope of the world. As you receive the cup, please retain it, and we'll drink together as a sign that we are Christ's family. Thank you. The cup that we share is the cup of promise. We drink together the cup of the gospel, which is the good news to all who will receive him. The blood of Christ given for you. Let's pray. Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, may we overflow with thanksgiving for who you are, all you have done, and all that you have yet to do. May we remember the taste of this communion in our mouths in both good and difficult times. With your breath in us, you have prepared us to be your witnesses in this world. To you be all honour and glory. Amen. And so we sing together, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, number 449.
Thank you.
Let's pray. You are our God. You are our Father. You have the power, the purpose, and the honor. We go now in the knowledge of your love, your truth, and your glory. We go now in the strength of your word. We go now in the power of your Holy Spirit to name Jesus as Lord of all. Amen.